Chroeso cynnes i ail podcast Gwydni. Hi, warm welcome to Gwydni's second podcast. I'm Kasia William, Gwydni's Community Communications Officer, and I have the company of three lovely people today as we continue to discuss communities, green futures, community gatherings, and of course, action, getting stuff done. So, ready for a chat with me today to share their knowledge so far and their experiences. Nina Bentley, Gwydni's Community Facilitator in Brofestiniog. Chris Roberts, Gwydni's Community Facilitator in Dyffryn Ogwen. And Grant Paisley, Director of Gwydni and Deg. So, welcome everyone.
Well,
hiya. Thank you.
It's lovely to have you here. So, let's start at the beginning. So, in case anyone who's listening has absolutely no idea, Grant, can you tell us what is Gwydni? Who are we? What are we trying to do? And how are we doing that?
Well, Gwydni is a really exciting movement for action on climate change, action at community level. And we bring together six social enterprises from within Gwynedd to work together, five of them really anchored in their local communities. In Bethesda with Partneriaid Ogwen, in Penllyn with Ynni Llyn, in Blaenau-Ffestiniog we have Cwmni Bro-Ffestiniog, and in Pen y Groes, Orsaf, finally Cydynni in Llanberis area. And in those five areas, we've been funded by the Lottery's Climate Action Fund to provide assemblies on the climate. So there will be four assemblies in each of the five areas I just spoke about. So in total, 20 assemblies will be delivered that will bring people together to discuss what they'd like to do about climate change in their local areas and develop a manifesto, an action plan about what can we do so we can get on with doing it.
Great. Okay. Thank you, Grant. So the crux of it is community climate assemblies. It's quite a mouthful. So what does it mean exactly? What happens in them? Chris, can you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, so community assemblies are a way of getting people in the community together to learn, to discuss, and to come up with action on any particular topic. So in our five communities, we've got a community assembly on climate change, and we have chosen to have 50 people in each area, so we've chosen 50 people. We've sent out a letter to every household in the area, did a big marketing campaign to let everyone in the area know about the community assemblies, asked people to sign up, and then we chose the 50 people at random from those who signed up using software that's tried to make sure that the 50 people reflected the population of the area as best we could.
Great. Okay, so that sounds like a fair bit of work trying to recruit enough people for all those areas.
Yeah, I think as a team we put a lot of work into designing how that would work. How can we try and get as big a variety of people as possible to sign up? How can we make the selection process fair? And, you know, how to get a good discussion and make sure that people feel included as well. So, yeah, it was a lengthy process, but I think it's worth it. Yeah.
It's paid off. Okay, so... So now that we get to this stage, the 50 people have been selected in each area, what happens next? Do you just hope they all turn up and have a chat, or what has to be done beforehand? Nina, can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, I can definitely tell you a bit about that. Each of the five areas has a facilitator. So I'm the facilitator here in Brofestiniog. And the facilitator's job is to plan the assembly sessions in more detail. So we open up the space for people to come in and take part in those sessions and those activities. We also have discussions in small groups around tables and as a plenary meeting where everybody inputs to the whole meeting. But we also think really carefully about each of the sessions to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to contribute. So if somebody perhaps doesn't like speaking in front of a full room, that's absolutely fine. And you can have another opportunity to contribute either on the smaller discussions or writing notes or popping post-its on the wall. And we have people translating so that everyone is welcome to contribute in either of the languages that they want to, Welsh or English.
Thanks, Nina. And that's another interesting thing about the Gwydney Assemblies, isn't it? That they're fully bilingual. And from the research that we've done, I think it's fair to say that the only community assemblies of the sort in the world ever to be delivered bilingual. So how did you kind of think about that then? Or how did you plan how that would work?
Yeah, that, I think it was one of the many challenges we've had to overcome in the planning. Because the five areas we work in are very rooted in the culture and language of Wales. We want to make sure that that gets reflected and that people feel comfortable to come and talk in the language that comes from their heart, as much as the language that comes from their head. So, of course, we provided translation facilities, as Nina said. The team are all bilingual. Denny Gide and Chadwick Cymraeg, we all speak Welsh as well as speaking English. And then we worked out systems, if you like, for how that might work in small discussions and the broader discussions. And, you know, I'm sure that Chris and Nina could tell you some of their experiences of how that worked for them during the assemblies.
Yeah, I think it was really important to us that the sessions were bilingual because the community assemblies are all about making use of local resources and, you know, having everyone in the community involved. And most of our areas have between 70 and 80% of the population speaking Welsh, and we didn't really want to block out that 30% who don't speak Welsh from the sessions. But equally, it was very important that people could contribute in Welsh. And, you know, we ran all the sessions in Welsh with simultaneous translation. I think that was really important. In terms of challenges, we presented from the front in Welsh with some translation. And, you know, that works very well. It's a tried and tested method. And then we also have small discussions in small groups where we encourage the table facilitator to sum up as we went along. That's maybe a method that's less familiar to us as facilitators as well as people, as well as to the assembly members. And so getting people used to that, this is working in a truly bilingual environment rather than the translated environment, is a new way of working, but it's an exciting one, I think.
Definitely. I'm the only learner on the team, really. And so I have found it really exciting and important to really forward the Welsh language in the assemblies. And I've learnt a lot and improved a lot in my Welsh language. I think, as Grant said, and as Chris has said, it's so important to have the sounds of the community when you're doing community work. And that's important for everybody, whether you're a confident Welsh speaker or a learner or just have a few words. So this important local community work being delivered in the language of the community is essential. But it has also been really important in sort of emphasising taking time to get things right and to include everybody. So not just in terms of language, but like we've been talking about, people that perhaps are less confident or have different things to give in different ways, and being really open and inclusive on every level throughout the assemblies has been really important. It does take a bit more time, but it definitely pays off in the end.
Yeah, and one of the other things we've done to try and be inclusive is offer people to join on Zoom. So as we're still coming out of sort of the COVID restrictions or sort of the COVID threat, some people don't feel confident being in a room with 50 people, or some people have been struck down by COVID and had to isolate on the day that they were due to attend assembly. So we've set up sessions on Zoom as well. And again, that's another area where maybe we learned a lot and had not so much examples to thrive on, really, in terms of doing hybrid events. There's great examples of people who held similar events on Zoom, great examples of people who've held similar events in person, but having to do that as a hybrid event was a real big learning curve in an area where we've learned a lot, but also managed to do some unique things, hopefully.
Yeah, can I just add in there, you know, I love the idea that we have roomies and we have zoomies. So you have people who are in the room, people who are on Zoom, and then when you're facilitating a table and maybe your groups are moving around at your table, all of a sudden a laptop or two arrive, and you've got these people who are all sitting in their living rooms, but they're in the room with you as well at the same time. I've loved facilitating that. I thought it's worked really well. And it's got to be said that we've done all this on a pretty tight budget, I think, as well. You know, it's possible when people talk about hybrid meetings, they talk about big costs, all sorts of electronic solutions and things like that. And the same for translating, really. If we had all the money in the world, we could have had a translator at each table and things would have been translated. But because we had those restrictions about sticking to our funding, we found these new ways of doing them. And I think they've worked really well. We've had really positive feedback.
Great. So it's really great to hear more, like, the behind-the-scenes workings of how these events have come together. So let's take this opportunity now to hear from a participant. So it's all well and good us talking about how it went, but let's hear from one of the Assembly members. So this is Caro, who is a member of the Dyffryn Ogwen Community Assembly on the Climate. Okay, so there's Caro talking about feeling a bit nervous at the start of the day. Also curious to know what was going to happen, to learn more and to hear more about the process. Has that been a common theme, do you think? Is that how people tend to turn up on the morning of the Assembly?
Yeah, absolutely. I think as community facilitators, we've spoken to every member on the phone in our area in the months leading up to it. So that's just to get to know them better, for them to get to know us, put a voice to the person that's written them emails and letters, and, you know, just to get a feeling of any questions or any doubts they might have about the process. And certainly people were feeling nervous, maybe that they didn't know enough about climate change to contribute, and you were telling them, no, we're going to give you all some facts, and, you know, every opinion, every experience is valid. Some people just didn't feel confident speaking in a room of 50 people. And so again, we were telling them, well, you can contribute in smaller groups as well. And then there were some people, again, who were a bit nervous about being in a room of 50 people, because it's something that a lot of people haven't done for 2 years. So it's really important that we sort of made people feel like they were able to come if they wanted to, and sort of, you know, try to allay their fears by opening doors and saying that they can space out and leave the room, but also providing that Zoom ability to join over Zoom if that's what they wanted to do as well. So yeah, there was a lot of nervousness, but hopefully by having those talks and by trying to build those relationships with the Assembly members, we've been able to ease some of that nervousness at least.
Definitely, I would agree with that. One of the real joys of this job so far has been calling everybody individually and having that one-to-one contact with everyone. And a lot of the sessions involve us reminding everybody that there's no right or wrong answer, and that everybody is an expert in the experience of their own lives. They all share a place to live, a geography, an area, and that, yeah, every experience is just as valid as the next.
That's something that I'm quite curious about. You know, you keep saying there's 50 people and talking about their experiences. I wonder what's happened if you've had conflicting ideas or kind of conflicting opinions, because it's, you know, it's quite, it's a topic that really is important to people and that people are worried about. So how have you dealt with that? Did you have anything in place? Or
We didn't have doormen or bouncers standing around ready to separate people, no. I think it was dealt with really well in each of the locations for the assemblies, where there was a facilitated discussion about how should this work? If people disagree, how should that work? Because people are sensible. You don't need to tell them. You don't need to put a list of rules up on the wall. So we asked people, and everybody said, yeah, of course, everybody's entitled to their opinion here. And Chris has detailed to you about the way we went about recruiting people to come to the assemblies. Well, you know, we tried really hard to get people with different views. We wanted to make sure that there was a mix, just like there is in our communities, and that people felt safe coming and saying, I don't believe in climate change. or I think the economy should be more important than the environment. And then other people say, well, climate change is the most important thing in the world right now, and we've got to concentrate on that. People should be able to of course, share those opinions, and everybody in the room agreed. Yeah, we should all listen respectfully. You know, our job is to listen to each other and take on those opinions. And I thought that it was facilitated really well, and the feedback I had in conversations with people afterwards, that they were all saying that they felt able to have those conversations.
Great, thank you. And I suppose that we want everyone to come on the journey, don't we, and to support whatever the action plan is at the end. So could you maybe tell us more about that? So we've had Assembly 1. What's the process now then for Assembly 2, 3 and 4?
Yes, so we've had Assembly 1, which happened in all five areas in the spring. So now we're looking forward to Assemblies 2 and 3 in the autumn, where we'll be envisioning the future together, learning from more experts. And those sessions will be guided by what we've heard from the Assembly members in that first session. So each Assembly, maybe the Assembly members have expressed an interest in different areas of topics, and also maybe expressed an interest in learning in different ways as well. So the process will all be guided by what we've learned from the Assembly members and what the Assembly members have told us. And then, of course, we'll be moving on to the fourth session then at the start of next year, where we'll be coming up with community action plans for all five areas. And that'll be something then that hopefully the community will read and will be enthused by, and we'll take on board and we'll carry out action on it.
Yeah, and just to add to that next assembly, we're looking at some envisaging and imagining of what the future could look like, on the principle that if you want to step into the future that you want, a better future, you first have to go and imagine it to know what to do and what the next steps are. And there's an element of not just firefighting at a day-to-day, week-on-week level, but having this vision for the future that we can all work towards. So we're looking at developing how to help and assist Assembly members to do that as a group.
I'm really excited about that. I'm really excited to hear what people imagine about how that might look. I think it'll be fascinating for the outcomes of that, but I guess we'll have to wait for the autumn. Mm.
So let's hear now then from two of our Assembly members. So we've got two short clips here from different communities, but they're talking at the end of the day, so talking about how the first Assembly went and what they feel. Okay, so there was Caro, clearly enthused and talking about how much she enjoys getting to know the people at her table, and now feeling without a doubt that we can tackle climate change, which is such a wonderful thing to hear at the end of the first session. And Karthik as well, talking about how he heard about the Assembly when the letter came through his door, and how he felt really included despite most of the session being delivered through the Welsh language, and again talking about meeting new people. Is that something intentional then, this kind of bringing together of people for the sake of building that community network, or is that a nice to have that's just kind of happened on the side?
No, I think tapping into the wealth of local resources is exactly what the community assembly is about. And I think what we have when we bring 50 people in the room together, and they do tend, a lot of our assembly members are people who are quite active in the community already, quite active in battling climate change sometimes, is people going, oh, I didn't know you did that, or, oh, I go to this club and I volunteer here, or I didn't know that you could do that, and all that sort of thing. So our assembly members bring such a wealth of experience and knowledge in themselves without the expert speakers, without us putting on sort of, you know, facilitated sessions to try and drag these answers out of them. They just bring so much to the room without any of that, without any of the structure. And I think that's, yeah, one of the most important things, really, just connecting people within the communities. And then, of course, once they're connected, they connect them to other people outside of the assemblies as well. And you're just making those community connections, aren't you?
Yeah, you're right. We've got 50 people in the room, okay? And they go home and they talk to their families. And let's say there's only three people in their family. All of a sudden, you've got 150 people, haven't you? And then maybe they go to work and go, oh, did you hear that your dad was doing this the other day? All of a sudden, it spreads, doesn't it? And you know, this is a benefit of doing this kind of work that I think sometimes isn't recognised as well. It was part of the plan, if you like, with my white cat on my lap as we stroke it. You know, part of the plan was that we bring people together, and in bringing people together, we enthuse a community. And so important after the pandemic, when people had to stay at home and not mix together, that we get people back together to help them to remember how fantastic it is when we all come together and all these things we have in common and how we can help each other. One of the great memories from the last session in Brofestiniog was where people were offering wants to meet other people's needs. People milled around for perhaps 20 minutes, writing on the wall, oh, we need this, and then somebody else would write, oh, I've got this to offer. And that was fantastic. Just a piece of community building in action. Really enthusing and energising to see.
We're going to take this opportunity now to mention, in case you're listening at home and thinking, oh, I wish I'd have gone to that now. don't worry, you can still be part of the Gwyrddni movement. There are plenty of ways to get involved. So first of all, if you'd like to watch some of the presentations that we've had at the assemblies, you can do that by heading over to gwyrddni.cymru. Click on the drop down, select your area, and you can watch the presentations just as we all did at the assembly. And also, there will be lots of different activities going on in the five areas over the summer months as well. So do keep an eye on Gwyrddni's social accounts on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, and come along. You know, it's not a closed off thing. Everyone is welcome to join in and to share their opinions and ideas as well. So just to wrap up then, if everyone, Grant's just alluded to it there, but is there anything that's really struck you in this first round, or anything that you're really looking forward to in the next round?
No. So something that's really strong in my mind that came out of the last session of the Brofestiniog First Assembly was when we had a panel of speakers. We had two or three farmers and an expert in biodiversity, and we were bringing in this aspect of more than human to a community and just opening up our viewpoints outside of our own sort of human impact and human life, and looking at the area of Brofestiniog from also the point of view of the earth and the plants and the animals and the species that we have around us as well, and how we interconnect with that. And that was a really interesting start to looking at the future of Brofestiniog as well. So I'm really looking forward to going through the next assemblies with that lens added on to our eyes and our thoughts.
I think the thing that struck me the most is just how enthusiastic all our assembly members are, and how infectious that energy is, and how to feed off it. You know, we've been at every assembly session across the whole five areas, and then I've got my 50 assembly members in different Ogwen who I feel an extra special bond with. But, you know, all 250 of them, it just gives you so much energy to see the enthusiasm that they bring to the sessions, and you think, oh, actually, we can do something because we have got fantastic crew here, and you know, outside the assemblies, when you talk to people in the communities, to think, tell you that you're doing good work and they're interested in what's going to happen. You think, oh, there's enthusiasm for this and there's momentum behind it, I think.
Yeah, Chrissy, you're right, because what lands with me about this is, you know, we're talking about a really heavy subject, one that creates anxiety and worry for many people, and lots of people brought that with them when they came to the first assembly. They brought their fears and their worries, but they also brought some hopes with them, and I feel like when they came together with other people who felt that way, they left with far more hopes than they had fears or worries, and that's certainly how I felt as well. But with the privilege of having been through the five areas and seeing them all, you left thinking, oh, we can do this. Yeah, we can do this. When we work together, we're going to make it happen. And so that's what I'm left with.
Amazing. So lots of exciting times ahead then, I'm sure. So diolch yn fawr iawn I chi gyd. Thank you all so much for your contributions. And if you're listening at home, don't forget to head over to Gwydni's website, gwydni.cymru, to learn more and follow us on all the socials as well. And we will see you again.